of thought. I turned the tap and watched the foamy liquid fill the glass. Are you sure you're okay with Anastasia being here? I can escort her outside if it's too weird for you. Plus, I don't want her getting any bright ideas about having a second helping of Laura blood.
No, it's okay, Laura said, as she grabbed a new bottle of whiskey from underneath the counter.
With her long hair twirled into a messy bun, her slender neck was very much on display, and Anastasia did nothing to hide the fact that she had her eyes locked right onto Laura's pale skin.
She won't touch me now that I have my coven mark.
I wouldn't be so sure about that, I mumbled, but I decided not to push it. Anastasia didn't seem like the kind of vampire to care much about the Alliance, or else she wouldn't have fed on a witch in the first place. Laura might have technically been up for grabs, but vampires tended to avoid drinking from mages, marked or not. The Alliance was far too tenuous to rock the boat. Thankfully, Laura no longer had that problem. When she'd helped me cast the blood spell in order to reverse the curse on my grandmother, the magic had been strong enough to trigger her coven mark. She was now an official member of the Blood Coven, though she hadn't yet been welcomed into their folds. While there were a few blood mages in the Boston area, the official coven headquarters was located in Scotland, and Laura had little desire to leave behind the only home she'd ever known. Another howl shot through the night, a grating, goosebumps-inducing noise that spoke of pain and fear and anger. A momentary bout of silence followed as everyone in the bar turned to stare up at the ceiling. Several girls grabbed their purses and made a move for the door, whispering about angry ghosts. With a roll of my eyes, I leaned down to adjust the speaker controls that were located underneath the counter and pumped up the volume of the jukebox. If this didn't stop soon, more people were going to leave. "As soon as Nathan shows up," I said, as I glanced at the neon-lit clock on the wall. "I'm going to have a chat with Juno. She needs to get her dog under control." Laura blew at her jagged bangs and wiped away a bead of sweat on her forehead. The heat was almost stifling with all the warm bodies and the flowing booze, despite the dropping temperature outside.
"He's been late all week. There's no telling when he'll show up. No, you go ahead now. I'll be fine."
"You can't man the bar by yourself." I gestured at the bodies that had begun to crowd in close, a cluster in the front leaning forward with money in their hands.
"It's way too busy. I'll be fine for 5 minutes while you talk to her."
She grabbed 10 shot glasses and began to line them up in a row, throwing me a thumbs up. With a nod, I shrugged through the crowd, finding relief in the cool air when I stepped outside. Overhead, the sky was dark and clear, and a full moon glowed like the brightest of bulbs. I shivered in my thin cotton shirt, suddenly wishing I'd grabbed my leather jacket. Winter was in full swing in Boston, and soon enough, snow would begin to pile on the city streets. I turned toward the door that led to the staircase, pushing the buzzer for Juno's apartment, which sat directly on top of Blue Moon Tavern. A moment later, the door screeched, signaling that she'd let me inside. One short flight of stairs later, and I stood on the landing outside of her apartment, staring back at a pair of dark green eyes that peeked out through a cracked door.
"What's up, Zoe?"
she asked, keeping the door open just enough for me to see a sliver of her face. There were bags under her eyes that emphasized her light freckles, and her red hair was twisted into a messy bun. She looked like she hadn't slept in days. The dog was obviously not making things easy on her, either.
"I need to talk to you, Juno, and I come bearing gifts."
I lifted a bottle of her favorite beer. "You going to let me come in?" She nibbled on her bottom lip and glanced behind her.
Okay, just give me a second.
After disappearing into her apartment and rustling around, Juno swung open the door and ushered me inside, her cheeks pink with color. She hugged her arms around her ratty band t-shirt and stared down at her pajamas-clad legs. If she were anyone else, I'd feel bad about dropping by so late, but Juno was a night owl, and there was no way she'd been asleep with all that howling.
"Sorry about that. The place is a wreck," she said.
She wasn't wrong about that.
I let out a light exhale.